Welcome back, Big Little Bestie, to After Bedtime with Big Little Feelings. Today's episode is near and dear to my anxiety-driven heart. We are talking about age gap, how many kids should we have, basically all the things that my fellow anxiety moms worry about all the time. We have the data for you. How many kids is the right amount of kids? What is the ideal age gap? We're doing it. Let's go.
If you follow us on Instagram, you know that Moki, my pug, he is my number one baby. He's my firstborn. I love him so much. But if I'm being really, really honest, ever since having kids, he doesn't get the attention that he used to. I do my best, but there's a lot going on. But one thing that makes me feel really good is we recently switched his food to the farmer's dog. And I cannot tell you how happy this little pug is every morning and every night when he's about to eat. Even my husband commented yesterday, he's like, I've never seen Moki prance around so excited. He loves this food. And I've noticed a difference where he does look happier, he has more energy, he just looks like a healthier dog. The farmer's dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. It's recommended by vets, nutritionally balanced, and it's made from human-grade ingredients in safe, clean kitchens. Honestly, when you pour it, you can tell how real and how clean this food is. In hindsight now, I can really see how like traditional dry and wet dog food options are extremely processed, and they can use so much lower quality ingredients than they claim to, and they're extremely difficult to portion accurately. And if you're using dry food or like store-bought food, no guilt. I did it for a really long time, but I now notice such a difference since I've switched him, which is why I'm here sharing the farmer's dog with you so you can incorporate it into your family. And one little detail that I love, it makes life easier, is the farmer's dog isn't just higher quality food. They also send you the right pre-portion size specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. This makes it really easy to help your dog reach and stay at their ideal weight, which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. In fact, dogs at healthy weights can live as much as 16% longer than overweight ones, and that's 2.5 years. A fresh diet has been found to have all sorts of benefits, from healthier coat and skin to better breath and even easier digestion and smaller, better poops. Yes, poops matter. A healthy diet isn't just important for humans. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/feelings. Let the farmer's dog know that we sent you. Use our code or click podcast after you sign up for your first box. Besties, you know that After Bedtime, this is a podcast where we navigate the wild world of parenting after our little ones have gone to sleep. But we can't forget our other little babies, our furry little troublemakers, our dogs. I have a little pug. His name is Moki and we call him Momo, and he really is my number one baby. He was my first child. And at the same time, as much as we love our pets, we know they can get into some trouble sometimes. Let me tell you about a time that my sweet, sweet baby Moki got into a bit of trouble. My one-year-old was just learning how to do solids. He's practicing. I gave him a huge lamb bone. And the baby, being a baby, accidentally dropped it on the floor. And within seconds, I kid you not, I looked over. Before I could grab it, Moki inhaled the lamb bone all 6 inches in a pug down his throat. It was horrifying. We rushed him to an emergency vet, and thankfully, it was a 3-day journey. He is okay. But trust me, the vet bills, they were no joke. Speaking of which, we wanted to share a message from our partner Spot Pet Insurance, because Spot Pet Insurance plans can offer up to 90% cash back on eligible vet bills, which sounds like a game changer and something I wish I had on the Moki Lambone fiasco. Honestly, like, it was bad on top of bad when I got the bill. But now, imagine getting up to 90% cash back on that bill. And the Spot Pet Insurance plan offers not only coverage for accidents and illness plans, but an optional preventative care benefit as well to help with the cost for routine wellness, vaccines, and more. And if you catch yourself thinking like, is it expensive? Let me tell you, it is probably less expensive than the unexpected $1,800 vet bill that I got served. Go to spotpetinsurance.com today and get a free quote instantly. It's very easy. Disclaimer, paid ad for Spot Pet Insurance. Waiting periods, annual deductible, coinsurance, benefit limits, and exclusions may apply. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC.
Kicking us off with a yawn there.
I'm so tired.
Off with a yawn. And I was gonna sing, but you
you literally yawned directly into the microphone in your face.
I think that's a great way to start.
Yeah,
I think it's a great way to start. Hey, hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hey. Do we always roll into this just like, do people have podcasts where beforehand they get into a zone and it's like calm? And is that like, is that, do you think that non-mom podcasts, that's how it works?
I would have to imagine. Okay. They like meditate.
Oh, wow.
Get the mindset right.
You ever think about like what this would be like if we didn't have kids?
Oh, my God. You know what I mean? I haven't gone there in a really long time.
Like, I love my kids. I would choose them over our career all day long, even though our career is also our baby.
Yeah.
But like, you ever think about that sometimes where I'm like, wow, what would this be like to have not just literally rolled in from like cleaning up the water that spilled everywhere? That was my fault, by the way. But then, you know, and the cheers and the demands and then like screaming like, no, mommy, don't go. You know what I mean? And then you roll in and your brain... What kind of function? Is this executive functioning? What am I thinking of? It's like task switching where you're like, oh shit. Okay. All right. Let's cool. Let's make a podcast. Yeah. Got it. No problem.
That's exactly how we do it.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, human beings, if we didn't have kids, I'm sure we would just find something else to, you know, fill that spot.
Oh.
But it's a special flavor once you have kids, I think.
I think that's true. But maybe it would. I don't know.
I feel like it just depends on who you are.
Yeah.
I can now say, though, confidently, as a mom, now that I have this lived experience, if I did go back in that position of having no kids, wow, just wow, I would do things so differently, you know?
I guess you're right, though, now that I think of it, where like, I had a career, you know, like I was a working lady. I was still kind of a mess. You're right. Now that I think of it.
Right.
But you're right. But you're right. Humans. Sometimes you have this like fantasy world. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like sleep, you know, where you're like, you didn't know what you didn't know before.
Exactly.
And now you're like, wow, I would have just like come in with intention and I would have carved 2 hours and I would have meditated. I'm like, what I have.
Do you know how many lunches I used to go into just like annoyed, like, oh man, gotta have lunch with this person, you know? And now I'm like, wow, imagine having lunch with someone at a restaurant by yourself, you know? Like, it's just a,
They're not drinking like in a smoothie or eating like leftover chicken. People are eating lunch.
Yeah. No,
you know what I mean?
Not the bread crust. Yeah. No, not that. The like mac and cheese stuck at the bottom of the pan.
I do feel like every now and then it is an asset, I will say, because while I didn't realize how good I had it, like we're talking about, everything is kind of calmer and more stable and you come home from work and you just like veg in front of it, you know, like you just veg out or you work out, you do whatever for you. I feel like now I am incredibly productive when I need to be productive. Like there is a strength to this season of life where like today, kids have a snow day. It was also a 3-day weekend. We're rolling into that and I'm just going to cram in this podcast
as your microphone is slowly
creeping
away.
Bestie, my microphone went down. I might have been quiet the past 2 minutes.
I saw it all of a sudden. I was like, that's weird. Maybe I should tell her. But she's like on a roll right now. And I love where her heart's at. Like going. Yes. Yes. Also, I think there's research on what you just said, by the way.
Go ahead, please. Yeah. You know what I was about to say.
I like, need to go look into
now
it further.
Now I just show up when I have to show up. You know what I mean? I get it done. Go ahead.
I'm pretty sure there's actual research. Okay. That working moms are like one of the most productive categories of humans in the world.
Does it feel good though to be that productive? I don't know. I guess it is like once we get a little bit of
it's
a semblance of things back, right? Where it's not like little kids and babies and toddlers, your kids are like in school. I bet that is where we're going to find like, okay, now I know how to be really productive when I need to be.
Yeah.
And then also like let go when I don't have to.
I know I have that. I'm like, yeah, hour and a half window. Yeah. Watch me bang this out. Watch how much I can do on this to-do list.
100%.
I wasn't like that before. Like,
were we, I mean, you were probably different, but like, I'm going to be honest, at my office job, like, you know, the afternoon after lunch is tough. No one in that office, aside from the CEO who's like running around and going and all these things, no one's doing much after 1 p.m. You know what I mean? Like 1 to 5, everyone's just doing nothing. They're on their phone. They're scrolling. They're whatever. They're sending like little emails.
Checked out.
Just to show they're still there. Out. Let me just send a quick little
email. Your body's here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're in the tap. They're in the little tap of the mouse to make sure that your Skype, back in the day, that's how old I am, your
still
Skype
active.
Is still agreeing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You know all the hacks.
Of course I know all that.
I can't say I was like that, but I'm also in therapy for being perfectionistic. So if you could find maybe the happy medium, the balance in there in the middle, that could be good. Which, by the way, motherhood has taught me to be a little more flexible because I used to be a very, very, very rigid person.
I can't wait for you to have a third knocking on all of the fertility gods in here. And you will. And you will. I can't wait for you to have a third because it's absolutely true. All those social media things and all of those reels where it's like the third, you just give up, but not in a bad way. It's like the best. Nothing could happen that will derail me. Nothing. Like how many things have even this weekend kept popping up, you know, like, oh, he has croup. Oh, we have to be out until 8:30 at night. Like all these things that were derailed and did not even a phase, not even a speed bump, you know?
That was actually a question that I had for you.
Oh, I can't wait to
get it. Yeah, we should do like a whole thing on it because I have so many questions about going from 2 to 3.
Oh, yeah.
But today's episode is actually directly relevant to what I constantly loop on in my head as someone who's going to go down a fertility journey, right? Yeah. It's like, how many kids is the right number of kids? What is the right age gap? Mm. I mean, let's just dive into it.
Let's do it.
Okay, we're big believers that small, easy changes can have big results, and that goes for your skincare routine too. These days, it's so confusing to know what product works for this and that and which work together in what order, so I'm just going to make it easy for you. The Work System from Dime Beauty. Dime Beauty is clean, it's high-end skincare that's affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean either. And when I say clean, by the way, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I do not have time to remember a 10-step routine. The Work System is everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, 2 incredible serums, and 2 luxurious moisturizers. Plus, with spring and summer around the corner, I love anything with sunscreen. Their Tinted Glow Wonder Screen with SPF 30 just came out in new shades, and it's amazing. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. Love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. Dimebeautyco.com. It's about time you've checked out Dime.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, you're still in this, which is wild.
Yup, I sure am.
Yup. I cannot tell you how consuming this whole, not only age gap, I'm still kind of in the, I'm like 1% in the like how many kids is enough kids, but 99% done. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's so consuming to be like, how many kids is the right number of kids? Because you can go so many different ways with it. And then the age gap thing too.
Yeah. Ooh. It's so true.
It's just that thing that like right in the back of your head, no matter what you're doing. It's always there.
Yeah.
If you want for you,
if you want another kid, I feel like it's just kind of looming in the back. Yeah. You're like, so like, what if I wait another 6 months? Is that too long? Because then they're going to be X and X age. And then like, what about if I wait longer? What does that look like? And just do all the math behind the scenes all the time.
But even if you don't know if you want a kid too, like that, I was there for where you're just like, first you have to start out where you're like, do I even want another kid? Right? That's the first part. So you like agonize over that. Yeah. And then once you decide, you're like, all right, cool, I'm ready. Oh shit. Okay. If I do it at this time, like you're talking about, then this and then this and then this. So in today's episode, we actually went into the research. We wanted to make everybody feel really secure, bring a little bit of clarity to the whole, how many kids is the right number of kids?
Yep.
And then what is the right age gap? And we're talking about this in terms of child outcomes, child development outcomes, and parental happiness. That's what we really wanted to look into.
Exactly. And you know what? You're going to walk away. I have good news. Feeling just like really good at the end of this.
You'll be reassured. Yeah. You're going to be reassured.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of it just being like a boo, boo, circling like I tend to do. I don't know about you, Dina, but I tend to do that.
I'm doing it right now. Literally, I had to explain to my therapist the other day. I was like, you know, and then once you decide that you want another baby, it's like all you think about, right? So maybe I should just like talk to you a little bit about that.
I had the same conversation with my therapist. Go on.
Okay. Okay. Let's start at age gaps.
Age gap.
Okay. So we can have them very close together. You can have bigger age gaps. Mm-hmm. Now, what does the actual research say about age gaps?
Yep.
Are you ready?
I'm very ready for this.
The best age gap is, just kidding, there's no data to support anything.
Okay.
No, let's break it down a little bit. Yes. So the research, when you really dive into it, there's not a ton. Okay. And when we look at really, really close together age gaps, I'm talking about you're getting pregnant less than 6 months postpartum, having your other baby.
Like you did.
I was 6.5 months.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to hang on to that. Okay. But basically, the only kind of suggestion of research that there is for anything is that if you're getting pregnant less than 6 months postpartum, there's a bit of a chance that you could have some health complications like preterm birth, things like that. Mm-hmm. And again, it's like a small statistic. Mm-hmm. But then outside of that, there's really not much. The research looks at things like the health of the baby and then looks at birth gap in terms of later school performance and IQ. Mm-hmm. And that's really all that's kind of touched on in research right now. And if you look at both of those, there's really not much data out there, first of all. And anything that is out there is suggesting that any sort of difference, it doesn't have a huge impact.
So when it comes to IQ and when it comes to school readiness, no impact, no difference if they have siblings that are close together versus siblings that are a bigger age gap.
School performance, yeah. Exactly. And even then, when you look at the research, and Emily Oster talks about this a ton, by the way, in her book, Crib Sheet, when you really look at it, you can't really pull apart certain factors that even affect this very small kind of difference that you see. Mm. Like really, it could be that parents are just spending more time with the kid, helping them learn how to read and other kind of school skills.
Right.
So really, when you're looking at age gap, there's no research that says one gap is better than another.
Yeah.
It's really like what you feel.
That's crazy to me because I feel like we all paint these narratives in our head. A lot of them I feel like are completely made up where it's like based on our own childhood or like two people that we knew down the street, you know? And so you're like, oh, you definitely can't have them 4 years apart, you know, because that's when like they'll end up hating each other. And we just make it up. We just really do make it up. You know,
we make it up. I literally did that, by the way. I was like, oh, my sister and I, 4.5 year age gap, like far too big for us.
You guys like love each other so much.
And now we love each other. We're best friends.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And then so I always just had this vision. Like mine was literally just this vision that I always had of me holding two small babies if I could. Uh-huh. And then I literally got pregnant 6.5 months postpartum. And I remember just texting you like, oh my God, I know I said I wanted this, but like, it's happening.
Yeah.
How am I going to do it?
You really wanted that, though.
You really did.
You really wanted that.
Yeah.
And you did it. You made it happen.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's a part of this conversation that I think that when you first start out, if you're not facing fertility struggles, then doesn't necessarily always come into the equation. Like you have these perfect plans. You wanted two babies right next to each other. That worked out for you. Here you go. Even before I think we all know, to get my third, you know, I went through miscarriage, had fertility, secondary infertility, did IVF, all of that. But even between my first and my second, I really wanted them close together too, because I came from a similar family where we were all 5 years apart, two older sisters, 5 years apart, 10-year age gap, too much, right? I just thought, like, we're all close, but I thought I really wanted my kids close together. Not like two babies close together, no offense, but like closer together.
That was a unique experience, I will say. We can do a whole thing on two under two.
A unique vision.
Unique experience.
I will say, now that we're going all over the place, I will say that I hear a lot about how like two under two, long term, they're best friends, blah, 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 right? Which is what we're getting to is like, it'll probably all work out no matter what.
Exactly.
But the part that we don't take into consideration is we're like agonizing and agonizing and agonizing over the age gap. And we're like, okay, I solved it. I've got it. I'm ready. And even between my first and my second, it took us 12 months. 12 months. Yeah. And every single month that went by was like, okay, now they're going to be this old, and now they'll be this far apart, and like, when is it going to happen? And agonizing. And I really wish that we knew in advance that you really can't control this all the time. Yeah. Some people can have a vision for two under two and then get it, but a lot of us, even if you don't necessarily have infertility, it doesn't necessarily always work out like that. There's a lot of variables that may like change what you thought you wanted in
the end. Exactly. And by the way, on this note, my husband actually has a 12 and 16 year age gap with his brothers.
Yeah.
Right? And like, totally good.
Wait, they're good?
They're good. Okay. They're actually like, they have a fully happy, close family still.
Yeah. You really cannot control the outcome. Like you cannot. My sweet spot was 2.5 years. I needed them all to be 2.5 years apart. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting because I ended up getting that for the first one, the first gap, even though weirdly, I guess I started trying earlier than that now that I think of it, but it ended up being pretty much 2.5 years. And the one between the second and the third is a 4-year age gap. And that was, when I say devastating, I mean devastating, which is crazy to think about. That's really not that big of an age gap. Okay, I'm just going to say that out loud. That is not a big age gap at all. But to me, for some reason, this was devastating. And of course, when you're like struggling and you lose a baby and all like that obviously compounds it. But it really was as simple as like, oh my God, 4 years, I can't. Because I knew of like two other people that had siblings 4 years apart. And I created this story in my mind of being like, this is going to be, you know, they're just going to hate each other, whatever it is. It was the best. If I could do it all over again, I'd have them all 4 years apart, which is crazy to think about. Like, I was a wreck over this 4-year age gap. And I'm like, shit, I should have done 5. Things were so much easier. The kids were independent. I was not like holding a newborn to my boob while the other one wiping her butt. Like, everyone could get their own snacks. It was a game changer. Like, I was healed. I was healthy. They could watch iPad. Like, it was incredible. So it's crazy how it kind of works out that way. And even I have a really close friend who I think her age gap now will be like 9 years. She just wasn't ready. She didn't want to have another one for a very long time. She had decided just one kid for a long, long, long time. And then once she approached like 8 years, started to think like, well, maybe I want them to have somebody else in their life. I don't know. I think I might. I bet like 9-8 year age gap is beautiful to watch. Beautiful to see a fully fully formed child interact with your baby and be like
beautiful.
So ready to be back in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's exactly it. And so really this all comes down to you do you. Some things we can't control. We can do our best, like hope for the best. And then there are things that we can. And what really matters when you think about it, like you do you, bandwidth, right? Mm-hmm. Like, do you have the bandwidth? Do you feel ready to have another baby, yeah. another pregnancy? Pregnancy is hard. It's beautiful and it's hard and yeah. it's magical. And postpartum is the exact same way.
Yeah.
So really, you know, tap into where you're at and what you need and what feels right for you, because literally no one else lives your life.
Yeah, man. And that might be like 202. Do it. Yeah. You know, I don't know. There is no answer. That's the answer.
Exactly.
It's kind of exciting. It's kind of freeing.
It's very freeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except for us who like to be told a certain way to do it.
Who like to have a plan. I love a plan.
It feels great and terrible at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying all this stuff knowing that I'm still going to be like, and trying to make plans.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of mom guilt, because I've had to just make peace with the fact that no matter what I personally do, I will have mom guilt. No matter how I rearrange my schedule, no matter how much I'm either working or baking with them or doing something for me or whatever it is, I'm going to feel guilt over that. And I'm just going to have to lean into that or just acknowledge it and go, hi, guilt. Because like, I'm 7 years in. I can't get around it. That's how I feel about like this agony over the age gap and all of this other stuff, where it's like, it just might be something that no matter what, no matter how logical it is, we may obsess a little bit or think, overthink it. And that just is what it is. We're moms. We're probably biologically hardwired to overthink these things. And that's okay.
Likely so.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and last thing that probably comes into play,
yeah.
age. Like, my husband's getting older, and that's something, yeah.
Valid.
He's like, yo, if yeah. you want this third baby, like, yeah. I want to get on it, because I'm feeling tired in my bones.
I feel that. I felt that at 30, and I still feel that. But no, you're so right. I have a lot of friends that either needed to do it closer together or tried closer together, just, right. you know, because of the age factor, which, you know, is always part of the conversation.
Totally. But let's roll on to the second big question. What is the right, perfect, best number of children to have?
Okay. Do you want to hit the research?
Yeah, let
or
me
do you want to hear my inner monologue first?
Let me hit you with the research. Okay. Hold on again, everyone. Hold on to your pants.
I'm ready. My pants are held on.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
There is no research indicating what the perfect number is.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that true, Dina?
That's true.
I swear to God, and I think the besties out there, they're on social media, so they get it too. I swear to God, everything on social media is like, it has an opinion. Like, there are reels TikToks and all of this shit of like, how many kids and 5 kids and like 4 kids is like the optimal happiness.
Yep.
3 kids, the Today Show says that 3 kids is the most miserable number for the parents. And I'm like, is it? And then it gets in your head. And you're like, and then it's like, only children are weird, or, oh, only children thrive. And I'm like, what is true?
It's all over the place. I got an unsolicited one the other day, by the way, when I said, I was like, oh, we're going to try for a third. And then the guy was like, oh, 3's a really weird number. Like, you should definitely have 4. We had 4 because, you know, and I'm like, oh, no.
No.
It's such, again, when it all comes down to it.
Yeah.
It's a personal choice, because there is a debate out there, to be fair, about this idea of quantity versus quality, right? The more kids you have, are you going to be able to give them quality attention and time? And then the research that exists, which is very limited, by the way, bless Emily Oster, she dives into this again.
Yeah.
But basically, all the research that exists is all done mostly on performance in school.
Okay.
And so when you really start to look at that, again, the number of kids is not really impacting performance. Now, there's a little bit of data to suggest that the birth order of children has an impact, right? Like a second child.
As a third child who nearly flunked out of school. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. But when you look at just sheer number of kids,
there's
no real data to support that there's a certain best number.
This is really mind-blowing to me. It truly is. I swear to God that I read the Today Show thing of like, 3 kids means less parental happiness. And then it was like, but if you get to 4 kids, then, so it's like either 2 kids or 4 kids. But you're saying
Listen, nada. there's also some research out there to suggest parents are not as happy in uh-huh. the early years. Like, it right. is hard.
Yeah.
And then it pays off in the long run.
And that's no matter how many kids you have, though.
Right. That's right. not impacted necessarily by the number of kids.
Mm.
Yeah. But there's also, like, a ton of just clicky, like, baity yeah. headlines out there. And yes. I think we all have to just pause and acknowledge when it comes to actual research, like, this is the age we're living in.
Yeah.
People who are not researchers, they're not data scientists, take a study, yeah. they pull out their favorite sentence and yeah. make a powerful headline that makes
Three
you anxious and makes you want to click.
Depressed parents.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then you go read the actual study and it's like, well, also they couldn't pull apart this factor and right. it wasn't well controlled
and causation.
Yeah. yeah. Like when you really dig in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Makes sense. Good news. You're free to do you.
Wow. Yeah. yeah that's crazy.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Including, by the way,
mm-hmm.
you want one kid?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Let's talk
Enjoy
about one kid.
Your one child, please.
Please let's talk about that. I feel like that's one of these things that's like taboo in a way. I feel like, because my sister has one kid, and I feel like, God, the commentary is near constant of like, when are you going to give them a sibling? Or, oh, huh, that's, a, you know.
Yeah.
And I cannot express like how healthy their marriage is. And we went on vacation together and her kid is like 8 and mine's obviously 7, 5, and 1 and younger at that point. And, you know, I mean, she looked at me at one point and was like, 3 is a lot, you know, because
yeah.
she has one child and that one child has needs and expresses it. And maybe he's going to melt down, but he's also 8. So he's not really. And he puts himself to bed and like mom and dad are holding hands like,
wow.
Yeah. Then it's not to say you should definitely have one kid, but it's also like bandwidth is so important. And what are you sacrificing? Are you willing to sacrifice these early years for a lot longer in order to get, if your goal is to have more children or not, right? Like there's so many different ways to go about it.
Exactly.
And he's such a like wonderful, well-adjusted social kid that I feel like, I don't know about you, but I feel like the myth of only children, that they are quote unquote weird or, right? Did you
socially
grow up with
awkward,
that?
Socially awkward, yeah. socially inept, weird.
Right?
Yeah. And like,
I don't think that's true anymore.
You said the word sacrifice, yeah. like, you know, but there's like part of that myth is that you're sacrificing your kids' well-being and like they're going to be so lonely.
Yeah.
And there's really no research out there to truly, truly support that.
Yeah. I like applaud people who do one kid. And by the way, sometimes that's not always a choice. So mm-hmm. also being really careful with your words to people.
Totally.
Again, like I see people come up to her all the time and I'm like, I don't know, we need to comment on this.
Yeah.
And then other times it is a choice and it's such a valid choice. Like it's such a valid choice. I want to say the same thing, by the way, and people are not going to like this, maybe. I'm going to say the same thing about 7 kids because there is a teen mom. You don't watch Teen Mom. I love Teen Mom. Her name is Caitlin. And she's pregnant with twins and they'll be her 6th and her 7th baby. And the amount of comments that I see on her page about having a 6th and a 7th baby, it's flabbergasting, right? And I don't know that everybody's like that. Like I see that and I'm like, oh, congrats. She probably wanted that. Cool. Keep scrolling, right? But it's like if someone chooses to have one kid, they are like, oh, God, you know, all the commentary. If you choose to have 7 kids, you probably get a lot of looks
lot of
in
commentary.
The grocery store, a lot
yeah.
of commentary. And I just feel like this is a great example because in her case, I don't know her personally, but like she has the finances. She's very successful. It seems like she chose this. It wasn't an accident. Even if it was, who cares? She has the bandwidth. She wants to have a big family. Great. One
right.
kid? You want to have one kid? Great.
Exactly. And like I'm sitting here, by the way, yeah. I'm like, I think in my personal heart,
yeah.
I can't handle 7 kids very well sure. without me sweating and getting overwhelmed every day.
I think I could do it.
You know, I think you might be able to, but my point is that's just a personal thing.
Yeah.
Okay. That's if someone wants that, you want 7, fantastic. You want 1, fantastic.
Fantastic.
Right. And it yeah. just means like this is such a personal choice.
Yeah. Which I feel like it's just hard to also. What we're saying is so hard to do, which is you have to look inwards mm-hmm. and maybe with your partner or maybe not, maybe it's just you and decide what is best for your family and then roll with that. Because I do think some of this agonizing, I wonder if that was really the case, you know, in the 80s. Like, did my parents really? No, they were like, I want three and I want them 5 years apart. And then I will do that, right? Like, my mom had a real Dina energy.
Did she or did she just get home from like a party late one night and then she was pregnant? I don't know.
Every December, you know. Every single holiday.
Way. Yeah. Did you know that September birthdays are the most popular birth dates?
I do know that. I think most people are like, oh, holidays and romance and like all of that. And with my parents, I think it was like a gift. Right. It was like a literal exchange. It was like my mom really wanted the baby every 5 years. It was like a thing. And I respect that now as somebody who chose to have a Virgo baby. Yeah.
Everyone else is just merry, jolly, drunk.
That's their reasoning.
And stuck at home in the snow.
Exactly.
No work.
So, no, I think that the hardest part of our generation and why we agonize over a lot, I speak for myself, agonize is because we do see all of these outside opinions and these headlines and all of this. And then you start to get one, you're like, oh my God, do they need more siblings? Do they need less siblings? You know? And it's like, there's actually no right answer.
Yeah. There's and I would no say right beware of the stories that we start to tell ourselves and create just by seeing a handful of examples.
That's the biggest one.
Yeah.
That's
keep the an biggest eye on one. That because it's not always true. We kind of make up stories just as humans. All of us do it.
I did.
I've done it.
Yeah.
I've done it.
Should we get into questions now?
Yes.
Let's do questions.
We should.
Okay.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, besties, coming in hot with the questions.
Woo!
Woo! Jen wants to know, you're very open about being in therapy. We're literally all in therapy. Like when I say that, you, me, our husbands, and couples therapy. It's something I want to pursue and get overwhelmed at all the therapist options. What type of therapist do you see?
I love this question. Yeah, this is important. I'm so glad that Jen asked. So, as a therapist myself, I have a little bit of advice. Mm-hmm. My best advice is you're going to have to interview different therapists to see who feels like a good fit. Now, a lot of times I feel like we get overwhelmed because we're like, I don't know, you know, but part of this is not only like sharing what your goals are or like what you're struggling with to see if that person really is an expert in that exact area, because different therapists focus on different things and use different kind of approaches. So when you kind of start the conversation by being just really honest about like, hey, I'm struggling with anxiety or depression, or I think about hurting myself, like whatever it is, they can then have the opportunity to be like, oh yeah, this is what I help with, or I don't. You should meet one of my colleagues who does help with that.
Yeah.
That's step one. Then after you gather maybe like three different referrals, interview them. And you're in charge. Like, this is your process, and you need to vibe and connect with the person and feel comfortable, really. Mm. So have a little conversation, a 5-minute phone call, 10-minute phone call, see how you feel. And if it doesn't feel like a fit, keep getting referrals.
Also, I have to say, I think once you try it,
yeah,
sometimes that's the only way that you know.
True.
And like, you just don't have to ignore your intuition. Like, give it one, give it two times. And then sometimes I feel like it's easy to then just give up on therapy because you're like, well, this is a waste of time.
Yeah.
It's probably just not the right fit, right?
It's exactly. Like,
okay, that's cool. Move on to the next option and then the next option. Sometimes you don't know until you're actually in it and you're like having the conversation.
Yeah. Now, on the flip side, as a client, definitely had that. There was one woman, I went three times and I was like, whoa, I don't feel comfortable like even sitting here, let alone talking and sharing.
But it also can be like more subtle than that, where you're just like, I'm not really getting much from this. Like, you know.
Exactly. True.
Listen to that.
Okay, this one is from Dana.
Okay.
What's the best family vacation you've ever been on?
Oh my God. You're not going to like this.
What is it?
It's Disneyland.
Oh.
It's fucking Disneyland.
See, I'm overwhelmed.
Who knew?
Wow.
Did you ever think I was going to be a Disney bitch?
I really did not. I like it for you, though. Like,
we're sitting here in all black, both of us. We're both wearing head to toe black. Like, we are not Disney people.
Yeah.
The joy. And you know what I'm going to say for anybody who's on the fence? Because, by the way, before I went for the first time, I called Megan of Feeding Littles, because if you follow her too, you know that they go to Disney every year. I would always watch it. I'd be like, I want to do this. This looks fun, but I'm so nervous. It's going to be terrible. They're just going to be melting down the whole time. So if you're in that situation too, and you're thinking about it, this is what I'm going to tell you. No matter where you go, your child is going to melt down. They're going to have potty accidents. It's going to be chaotic. It's going to be pretty overwhelming. What I learned, which was mind-blowing to me, is I always thought I'd be the person that'd be like, oh, I'm just going to take my kids to France. And if you take your kids to France, please keep taking them to France. But I always thought, like, they'll just do whatever I want. And that is where they end up melting down and having an even harder time and yada, yada. And it's like, this is not the vacation I thought it was going to be. When you go to Disneyland, all the stuff is like for them, and they are encapsulated with joy and activities and things that you're doing. And it ironically is easier and more fun because it's for them. It's like so much fun.
That sounds great. I'm not there yet.
I'm going to take your kids.
But you brought me one step closer. Yeah. I'm open-minded about it, at least, after hearing this.
It's the best.
You can take them.
It's the best.
I'm going to go to the spot. You take them.
I'm there. That's me. I'm going to do it. We have matching shirts. Like, I'm a Disney bitch. Dina, your best family vacation. Go.
I would say our Mexico redo vacay that we ended up taking. And if you remember the nightmare vacay one, if you followed us on Instagram, where we all got rotavirus on the flight on the way to Mexico, like it started.
Yeah.
And then just spent, you know, a good 4 days in a Cabo hospital and flew home. That was my worst. Okay. And then we had a redo. I knew that if, like, I didn't want to just never go again, because
I felt like
the anxiety was building, right?
Yeah.
Like, we had to just go tackle this. We had to correct it, have a good experience, show myself that was bad luck. We can get back in the saddle. And we did. And it ended up being so, so fun.
Good for you.
Even more fun than I thought.
Oh my God. So just doing nothing but like relaxing and being by a pool.
Yeah. No, really. They like had snacks, smoothies, just swam all day, nap because they were so tired from the sun. It was beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
The last one is from Hope. What is your take on manners and making your toddler say please and thank you to get something?
You know, please and thank you, really, really critical skills to have. Mm-hmm. And when we start to force our kids, if you will, to say please, say thank you, say please if you want this, right? We not only are entering into a power struggle most of the time because our kid is like, no, you know? So we're frustrated. They're not learning how to do this. But then the other thing is, if that's our main approach, when we're not around forcing it, they're probably not saying please and thank you. They're saying please and thank you with you just to make you be quiet and like get what they want, frankly.
Yeah.
So this approach of like the forced please thank you thing, it feels so logical because you're like, yeah, you got to learn how to do it if you want something. Mm-hmm. But long term, there's a better way to go about this, I think, which is us as their parents modeling saying please and thank you casually day in and day out. And I guarantee you, without that forced pressure, they start to just pick it up. It becomes like a normal part of interacting.
Mm-hmm. And they may even start to do it, or you could even bring them in at times, right? Where it's like, mm-hmm. okay, let's say please. And then when there's a refusal, we can do it for them, right? Exactly. There's so many reasons, by the way, that we don't factor in to why a kid might not say please or thank you. Mm-hmm. I was a painfully shy kid. I was nervous. I was anxious. If this is a new person, we have to give our kids a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, right? Yeah. And like, they can gain confidence and know how to do it by watching you, and the spotlight isn't necessarily just thrown right on them. Let them get comfortable. Because
that's overwhelming sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Model it over and over and over and over.
You're unloading the dishwasher, mm-hmm. and they help, you know, put something away. Thank you. Thank you so much for helping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Cool.
All right, bestie, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
If you are struggling with toddler or preschooler tantrums, pushback, discipline, picky eating, just all the confusing things, this podcast, we can only scratch the surface. If you need help, our course, Winning the Toddler Stage, is here to help. It is aptly nicknamed the Toddler Manual because it truly has every single thing you could possibly struggle with under the sun between the ages of 1 and 6 within one course. We're not going to do a bunch of workshops. You have to buy the sleep guide and the picky eating guide and the this guide and the that guide. No, everything you could possibly need for ages 1 through 6 is all in this one course. We were never meant to do this parenting thing alone. You deserve to have help. We are here for you. You can find that course at biglittlefeelings.com, and be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Big Little Feelings. We give free tips every single day. They might change your life with one free tip.
Thank you so much for being here with us. This has been an Odyssey production, executive produced by Lauren LaGrasso, produced by Daniela Silva, edited by Bob Tabador, and theme music composed by Liz Full. Then studio lighting designed by Shane Sackett and designed by Jackie Shearman. Special thanks to Odyssey Executive Vice President and Head of Podcasts, Jenna Weiss-Berman. And thank you for being here with us. We can't wait till next week.